Well, hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome back to my channel. My name is Dylan. Thanks so much for coming by. Have a very incredible video for you guys today. We're gonna be talking about, has Donald J. Trump signed the Insurrection Act? We also have news of, as today, that at least 10,000 National Guard troops are being deployed in Washington, D.C., which is twice as large as current troop levels in Afghanistan and Iraq combined. These next 10 to 12 days will be some of the craziest days that I think we have ever seen in history. Where's President Donald J. Trump? Is he in the White House? Is he at the National Command Center in Texas, as Lynn Wood has suggested? We're going to be taking a look at everything. We're getting down and dirty. Thanks for watching. Thanks for coming by. If you want to support me keeping on spreading the truth and this narrative about our president that the mainstream media likes to hide, you can support this channel, these videos, by thumbsing up the video, commenting down below, and also I went ahead and put a link down below. I opened up a PayPal. Some of you guys have already reached out, and thank you so much for supporting. But yeah, I have a link down below, and just, you know, it'll just, you guys know the videos get demonetized, and anyways, it'd be super appreciated. Let's get started. What is the Insurrection Act? Well, according to U.S. code, whenever the president considers that unlawful obstructions, combinations, or assemblages, or rebellion against the authority of the United States make it impractical to enforce laws of the United States in any state by the ordinary course, the president may call into federal service such of the militia of any state and use such of the armed forces as he considers necessary to enforce those laws or to suppress the rebellion. Now, the president, by using the militia or the armed forces or both, or by any other means, shall take measures he considers necessary to suppress insurrection. And a lot of people are asking, so there are rumors that he has already signed the Insurrection Act. However, I want to make it clear that those are not 100% confirmed, just because really the only true source we can trust is the president himself. And just because he has not yet announced it, I will just mark that as, I mean, according to me, whatever, unconfirmed. But at the same time, we have tons of other people saying he's already signed it. People like showing, obviously, with so many people at the White House in Washington, D.C., you could say maybe that is because of Donald Trump. Other, you know, the liberal media, the mainstream media is saying that, well, that's in order to prep for Inauguration Day. That's pretty standard. Well, I guess standard for this day and age that we're in. But seriously, over 10,000 troops of the National Guard heading to Washington, D.C. I mean, that is a lot of troops. That's a lot of people. 10,000. That's, again, more, or what is that? What were the numbers? Twice as large as troop levels in current levels in Afghanistan and Iraq combined. And this is according to NBC as well, even a mainstream media company. They said there are currently 6,200 guard members in the city of DC and five nearby states, and at least 10,000 to be deployed, you know, before Inauguration Day. So why would President Donald Trump sign an Insurrection Act? Well, it would most likely for him to stop being impeached, and also to basically try to get a second term, either now or in 2024. Now, I also wanted to say, President Donald J. Trump recently threatened to use Insurrection Act during all of the riots back when, I can't really say the exact words, but this past summer in June, there was a lot of protests going on, a lot of insurrection from the left side, which they really don't like to, you know, one little, I mean, I want to call it a little riot at the Capitol, but like, you know, not that much violence, a little bit of violence. Unfortunately, some people did pass away on January 6th, but at the same time, you had tons and tons of these crazy riots going on, you know, for months after everything that happened, and Donald Trump threatened to use the Insurrection Act, and the liberal media actually supported him because, again, so President Donald, this is on an article from Time Magazine. Shout out to Doug Tenapel, by the way. I do have to say I am using some of his thoughts about this too in my research. So if some of this overlaps with his video, I just want to give full credit to Doug Tenapel because, I don't want to, you know, make it seem like I'm taking his... Anyways, he was one of the guys I used in my research. Anyways, this is from Time Magazine, which he also shared, so just want to give him credit for sharing that. President Donald Trump on Monday threatened to send the United States military into states if the unrest that has swept multiple U.S. cities continues to grow, citing a 213-year-old law, the Insurrection Act of 1807. He said, this is on June 2nd, 2020, so a few months ago. Again, this is like a real thing that happened, which could be happening soon, or could have potentially have already happened, but this is what happened a few months ago in June. He said, if a city or state refuses to take the actions that are necessary to defend the life and property of their residents, then I will deploy the United States military and quickly solve the problem for them. The president said Monday evening, he announced that he had already authorized thousands of troops to deploy to Washington, D.C. in response to days of increasing unrest. So, as we see here, the same type of, you know, we see he'd already authorized thousands of troops, and that was when he was threatening to, you know, invoke the Insurrection Act. And now, there are already thousands of troops in D.C. So we can put the two and two together, the narrative. There was the Insurrection Act used, I believe, by Bush. Don't quote me on this because I'm not a, you know, historian expert, but it was during the Rodney King stuff in L.A. And in 1861, Abraham expanded the law to form the legal basis for waging the Civil War. Without it, he wouldn't have had the authority to send federal troops into a state without the governor's permission. So this was in 1861. After the Civil War, the Insurrection Act was further amended to give the president authority to enforce the 14th Amendment and conditions of the Reconstruction from the South. Now, I wanted to take a look at more of the U.S. Code going into this. Whenever the president considers that unlawful obstructions, combinations, or assemblages or rebellion against the authority of the United States make it impractical to enforce the laws of the United States in any state by the ordinary course of judicial proceedings, he may call into federal service such of the militia of any state. Now, we need to keep in mind, the Insurrection Act is different from martial law, right? So what is the Insurrection Act? This is actually according to MSN. There's a lot of, basically, it's Insurrection Act is even being trended on Twitter. Unfortunately, Parler is currently, you know, shut down because of the whole Amazon thing. So it would have been trending like crazy on Parler. I'm assuming it was trending over this past weekend, but, you know, it's down as of now. There's tons of images being floated around with like troops. There's a huge gate in front of the White House. What is the Insurrection Act? It gives the president authority to call on military National Guard forces to suppress an insurrection if a state requests it. And according to Republicans, or, you know, people who are talking about Trump, people who support Trump using it, their argument is that it would stop Trump from being impeached. Now, I personally am not a lawyer, so I don't know, you know, the exact things about that, but I'm sure from my understanding, if Trump does invoke this Insurrection Act, it would give him a lot of power as president to basically not be impeached and, you know, continue running, or I don't know, I guess remain president and just give some other authorities as the president. In most cases, a state would want to rely on National Guard troops in situations of unrest. The Insurrection Act is generally reserved for when things are really bad. And I think we could all agree right now that things are really, really bad. I don't think we've ever been in a time like this where we see so much divide in our country. I mean, maybe hundreds of years ago, but right now there's a very, very, very clear divide, and the left side, the big tech media, silencing the right side, silencing conservatives. You know, there's really not that much free speech anymore. I have to censor my own words. I can't really even say the president's name right now. Again, I'm trying to get all this stuff out there. I am playing YouTube's game. I'm talking in code. So anyways, I will keep everybody up to date with what happens. If you want to support this channel, please thumbs up the video, big thumbs up, comment down below, and yeah, again, if you want to support, I have a link down below to my PayPal, which I just put that in there. But anyways, you know, I'm going to keep on spreading the truth and spreading this narrative of information that the mainstream media does not want people to really know, because the media wants basically everybody to think that this can't happen. But in reality, I think they're scared of what actually could happen within the coming days. So thanks for watching. Thanks for supporting. You guys are awesome. I'm praying for each and every one of you. It's more important now than ever to keep praying and keep just staying together as a family, you know, as of our patriots together who believe in each other. So we're together. I'll be here. Thanks for watching. And yeah, God bless you all. Have a great day. Bye now.
Very few people, if anyone, left in Congress that is willing to fight for President Trump or have his back. So if President Trump really wants to complete this battle, this journey against the enemies of America that have been destroying us for decades, that he embarked on riding down that golden elevator in June of 2015, do you believe that if President Trump wanted to continue this fight in his last 10 days in office, whatever that may mean, and potentially onward, do you believe that the military would have his back? And do you believe that Secret Service would have his back? Because those seem to be the only two options left on the table. And those would be the people he's kind of dealing with every day, just in passing, that he can kind of bring this up to and just be like, hey, look, you know, what do you think I should do? The Secret Service with him, the military with him. What do you think would happen in that scenario? Do you believe the military or Secret Service would have Trump's back in the next 10 days if he moves against the enemies of America?
So there's two parts to this. On the political landscape of the election, it's pretty much a done deal where I don't think that the Department of Defense would do anything within their authority and power to support any decision with that. If it was a foreign threat, such as China, I mean, because right now America is the most vulnerable during transitions. And this one is going to be a very, if it even occurs, right? I'm expecting it occur, but there's a chance that it may not occur, right? There's a small chance. And but it still means it's a larger chance that at any point in time in my life, that a transition may or may not occur. So let's just assume that the transition does occur. It's still a time of chaos where you have one administration coming in and another, you know, coming out. And so that's a big gap in as well as opportunity for China, for Russia, for Iran, to seize any gain that they want. It's the easiest time. So in terms of foreign threats, I would definitely say that the Pentagon is going to support any sort of action, as long as it's not extremely bold or going to be incongruent with the potential next administration.
I've got a couple other news stories we're going to cover here, but before we do that, Ivan Raiklin is joining me now. He has a story right now at nationalfile.com. Exclusive: constitutional attorney says Pence Congress violated Constitution. Trump can use emergency alert system to circumvent censorship. Ivan joins me live on Skype now. And of course, Ivan, you laid out all the paths to stopping the steal of our election, all of which the Republicans and the vice president and others decided to be derelict in their duty of. And so now all the pressure remains on the president. What do you think the president needs to do with his final 10 days in office to either stop the theft of our election and or destroy the criminal corporate cabal that's about to put their puppet in office before he even gets in, Ivan Raiklin?
Yeah, so on, I think there's several prongs here. One is, there's still election fraud that hasn't been addressed. So I think there's the election fraud component. There's the constitutional violation component. I think he can address the constitutional violation component by going online under the EAS system and notifying the states that were derelict that he will send federal forces to ensure that the state legislatures in those Capitol buildings of the six contested states actually hold a vote. Because that's the way that they can actually remedy the constitutional violation that they committed and also kind of correct what the U.S. Congress just certified along with the vice president. As far as the election fraud component, that's going to have to continue with investigations, with court filings, etc. Another piece is the campaign can file a lawsuit, or not, excuse me, the state legislatures themselves can be a party against the U.S. Congress and the vice president, because the cause of action accrued on the 6th when they did the certification against the will of the state legislature, as well as the governors and the secretaries of state. That's the legal option. I know people are sick of the legal option because we haven't gotten anywhere with that, but that still is in play. And then under the EAS system, he can call under Executive Order 13848, which we've all been talking about. And also he can call under the, I believe it's, if you can pull it up, it's Title 47, Sections. If you go to my parlor, I have it there. Section 706, I believe, where under the War Powers Act, the president can essentially take ownership of the telecoms. I believe it's for a short period of time in conjunction with the EAS, to put them on notice that they can't just completely circumvent the First Amendment, essentially. So with that said, I think those are his options. I don't see outside of a, activating the Insurrection Act and martial law, I really don't see at this point any sort of path for him outside a complete restructuring of our government, meaning in 1776, there was a restructuring of the actually later on, it was the Articles of Confederation that created a new government for our country. And then you had the U.S. Constitution later on, created our second government. Absent a, I guess, a third wave or a third calling of a new government in this country, every second that ticks by is really, I would say, seconds closer to the conclusion of President Trump's first term. And granted, he is the president until the 20th, so he can use all these powers up until noon on the 20th if he so chooses.
Now, I've got a lot of questions I want to ask you, but generally speaking, do you think the attack against the president with the censorship, the attack against we the people, the attack against the truth, everything that we've seen ramping up right now, do you think that shows that the establishment, the criminal establishment, is more afraid than Donald Trump than ever? Or do you think they're more emboldened by his kind of soft concession speech to go down with these tyrannical tactics? Do you think they're more afraid of President Trump than ever? Or do you think they view him as out of the way?
Yes. I think there's two components there. One is that they see after the 6th, that was kind of the complete certification of a fraudulent election. And so Trump's power is getting weaker and weaker with every second. On the flip side, when you have China working in conjunction with one of our parties, the DNC, working with the majority of mainstream media and with the majority of social media, in the collective, that grouping has massive amounts of power, probably, collectively, the greatest organization with the most power on the globe. So you have that component against massive amounts of patriots that are trying to push back against that. And we'll see how it plays out. But I think absent, I'm trying to frame it in a way that's not going to get me in trouble. If we continue down the path that's currently going on, I would expect that the Democrats, the socialists, the communists, they're going to win. Again, absent a restructuring of our government, and it's usually done, let's just say it's not done in non-kinetic ways. I'm not advocating for violence. I'm not advocating for anything, and I'm not threatening anyone. But short of that, which historically in countries has been an option, I see this getting worse before it gets better.
And in third world banana republics, it just becomes commonplace every day. And let's just, right. I mean, and let me just be clear here too, because again, InfoWars, we've never been violent revolutionaries. We've always been intellectual revolutionaries, media right. revolutionaries, logical revolutionaries, spiritual soul, whatever you want to say. We've never been violent. We've never crossed that Rubicon. We never intend to. And so I just want to be clear about this. Folks, if things do ever get to an extent where something like January 6th happens, except it's the real deal, not just some setup where Trump supporters get set up, but in their righteous anger are in a situation where the narrative can be shifted. We're not in control of that. I mean, there's this whole notion like, oh, you know, InfoWars or Trump is in control of these people. No,
yeah, each person has their own breaking point, right? Each person individually across the country has their own breaking point. I can't tell you what other people's are. My breaking point or my threshold is very, very high. So I usually maintain my cool in every environment.
Well, I was actually going to, you know what? I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that, Ivan, because there's something happening in Austin that I wanted to use as an analogy here today. We have our background on the show today. That's the capital of Texas, Austin, Texas, with snowflakes flying. And people are probably saying, why do you have snowflakes falling in Austin? Well, we had a very rare thing today where we had snow in Austin. Now, I'm from Missouri. I've seen 3 feet of snow piled up multiple times in my life. But here in Austin, snow falls. And folks, I'm not kidding you. They have the whole city shut down. They send out emergency notifications. Businesses closing early. Watch out. The weather. Inclement roads. It's like a tiny little smattering of snow. And so I'm sitting here like, what is going on? You guys are freaking out over the snow. In a way, Ivan, the analogy is this. People finally see for the first time that in many ways, America has fallen. And they're finally seeing it for the first time. And just like someone in Texas seeing snow, they're like panicking. How can I drive? How can I go to work? How can I get to business? Oh my gosh, an inch of snow. That's total panic zone. But it's like, you've seen the worst of it. You've seen the feet of snow. I've seen the feet of snow. But I mean, what do you say to these people, like a Texan seeing snow for the first time and not knowing how to drive or go to work? But what do you say to these people that are finally realizing how bad it really is? Finally realizing that there's a corporate world government trying to take us over. Finally realizing the threat of the Chi-Coms. Finally realize how many traitors there are in government. What do you say to those people that it's finally all hitting home now, like a rush of emotion, a wave of information, finally realizing how bad it is? What do you say to those people?
I got you. Yeah, so on January 6th, a lot of us were in the same boat and we're kind of, you know, worried about what's going to happen next. I always say in a crisis situation, take a pause, take a breath, assess the landscape, figure out what's going on. And in this instance, big tech is overreaching, right? Just to continue on with your previous question, they're going to continue to push and push and push because there is absolutely no check on their power right now. You have Democrats controlling the House, the Senate, and the presidency here, it looks like, on January 20th. So they're going to now start pushing as hard as they can. Now, here's where I say you need to assess things. We need to have small victories. And I think the first small victory that we patriots need to have is to, whether you like the platform or not, it's more symbolic than anything else. We need to all get behind in making sure Parler and Gab and all these other platforms that are patriotic and support free speech, we need to ensure that we are supporting them so that they can push back against big tech. And that starts with, I think earlier today, John Maitz, the CEO, was on Maria Bartiromo's show. Everybody's refusing them server space to be able to host. Well, if you're listening to this and you have access to servers, hit me up on Telegram, hit me up on Signal, whatever. I'm still available on a lot of these other social media platforms. Let's get the capacity that Parler needs to essentially show Apple, Amazon, and Google, who's banned them, or at midnight, Amazon's going to ban them. Let's show them that we're not going to let them go to the wayside. We're going to fight back. David's going to crush Goliath, and then that's going to open up confidence for other people that are creating these platforms that are being crushed by big tech. Because once we show one success, the second one's going to be easier, and then we're going to start pushing back just like they're pushing against us. Constant struggle. I think that's our 5-meter target right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I was just telling my crew we should get Andrew Torba on too this week, who created Gab. Yep. Because even, you know what, there's going to be faults. Things are going to be faulty.
All hands on deck. I don't care if you had beefs with these people in the past. We got to unite. We have to lock arms, get our house in
order. We have to have the ship. I mean, we have to have these battleships. We can't, you know, because that's the thing is we've been battling on the enemy ship for so long. They've finally thrown us overboard. So we have to have our own ships to battle on. kind of like what we've had to do here at InfoWars in the last 2+ years when they banned us from everything. We had to build our own servers. We had to build our own websites.
You guys are at the forefront. You know how to solve these problems. So I would implore you to reach out to these folks and say, hey, here are some options if they haven't reached out already.
Definitely will be. We already are in contact with Gab. I've never talked to John Matsey, but we'd love to get him on InfoWars as well. The point is, it's the same thing, folks. It's going to be a little clunky. There's going to be a transition. There's going to be some trial and error, but we have to have the battleships to be able to battle big tech on.